Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage, Chiefs of FullPressCoverage.com. Coming to you guys here on a Friday, the last Friday before the NFL draft. Hard to believe it's already here. Been really hitting it hard on our articles lately with the FPC Chiefs draft prospect profiles. Got a couple left to hit on later this weekend, and that'll be it, with a couple of other draft-related ideas coming out before the thing officially gets underway. But overall, haven't had a podcast episode in a while, so a lot to talk about here in the next couple episodes before the draft, and of course then going to be reacting to what we see next weekend later on at the end of next weekend. But wanted to come on here today, just watched the latest Chiefs press conference before the draft with General Manager Brett Veach. Got a little bit of reaction to that to talk about as well, and just wanted to kind of reset definitely where we are at since our last podcast episode. Again, it's been a while. We appreciate all the great reactions that we have seen during this draft process with some of our articles, our draft prospect profiles. So I cannot thank everybody enough for that. And of course, going to have a busy week coming up here this last week in the ramp up to the draft. But like I said, kind of reacting to the Brett Veach press conference, going to be talking a little bit about the main points that kind of you could take away from that today. And of course, just talking about the draft, I think in general, some things that are kind of worth keeping in mind for Kansas City, whether based on where they're picking at right now. Of course, the multitude of picks that they have at their disposal. So going to kind of be kind of jumbling those ideas together and looking deeper into the Brett Veach press conference, and going to kind of talk about some last minute kind of predictions or things to keep in mind when we get to next week's podcast episode, the final one before the draft. I think I just kind of got to start with the reaction from the Brett Veach press conference. Really, like he kind of said at the beginning, it really feels like after weeks of speculation on maybe if the Chiefs were going to make a big trade, whether it was, a cornerback or a big signing there or a defensive end or maybe adding another receiver. It's really started to kind of settle in here as we've done more and more draft profiles over the last few weeks and throughout the month of April, that this really kind of feels like a draft where Kansas City is set on building as much as they can through it. And of course, every draft, I think teams, are obviously hoping to get as much return on their investment as they can. But I think this is a draft where, for Kansas City, especially, the timing of it, so massive for where this team is at right now. Of course, made four straight AFC championship games, was able to win a Super Bowl, but the expectations and the pressure have definitely started to change some things. And I think, as a lot of people have said, and ourselves included, they are now kind of starting to enter that second wave of Patrick Mahomes' career, getting away from the rookie contract and into those early years of the contract extension that he signed. So, I think it's becoming a lot more clear. Of course, you got these Debo Samuel rumors out there, which, never say never. Kansas City's, never afraid to make a move with Veach at the helm. But I think, obviously, seeing what happened with the whole Tyreek Hill situation, I think it's pretty obvious for the most part that nothing like that, I think, makes a lot of sense for Kansas City as things currently stand. And, not just the fact that it's the timing of this draft that means so much to Kansas City, but I think you kind of look at just where the roster is at right now. I think if you look at it on paper, this is definitely a roster that has a good handful of holes right now. There's a few different spots that have been lingering, kind of with secondary needs for a while. But I think you look at some spots that have just continued to be time and time again issues for this team, whether it's just getting depth there, sustaining health, being able to kind of hit on those premium investments. You know, I think last year was really the first year of all four drafts that Brett Veach has had where he really kind of finally hit on those earlier selections that he had at his disposal. We saw that with Creed Humphrey and Nick Bolton last year. But yeah, I think overall it's not just the timing of it, but I think it's just the fact he does have so many picks at his disposal. Him and his staff, I mean, have only made six picks in all four drafts in which Brett Veach has been the GM. So I think you look at the 12 picks right now, tied with the Jacksonville Jaguars, with the most in the league right now. I think they know that there's going to be a lot of sweet spots for them, and that's something we'll talk about a little more here in a second. But I think just finding out, you know, where that value is going to be at the highest, you know, I think they're going to have a lot of opportunities to really kind of see some guys slide and know kind of where maybe not a lot of people expect from a fan perspective. I think the league is really going to be interesting to watch for this draft in particular. And it's kind of funny that this is finally a year where Kansas City under Brett Veach has a lot of draft picks at their disposal. I think just because of overall, it's not the deepest class. I think there's a lot of even positions in need for Kansas City where the depth is very scarce, or there's just a lot of questions, not just on the field, but off the field in terms of just, you know, medical stuff, character stuff, that are really, I think, kind of in a gray area right now. So you look at, I think, the edge class, very top heavy, and obviously receiver class for Kansas City. We know that's been one of the top needs or positions that we focused on in our draft prospect profiles. You know, receiver, just personally looking at this group, I don't think there's really a lot of what you would call wide receiver ones in an offense. I think in terms of game changers, I think Jameson Williams from Alabama, even coming off of the injury that he had in the national championship game last year, to me, far and away, the only guy that I look at personally as a wide receiver one, as somebody who the offense could run through at the NFL level. I mean, I still really like Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, the two Ohio State receivers. Drake London, USC, is going to be an interesting kind of transition into the NFL as well. And I think it would not be surprising to see those three off the board, you know, by the early 20s. But for the most part, I think you look at the receivers, there's just not a lot of guys where you're going to be adding them to necessarily have them be the guys that the offense is going to run through, at least right away. And of course, with draft picks, you know, nobody's perfect. No one's a finished product. But I think in this class in particular, it's interesting to see the timing of Kansas City finally getting a lot of picks at their disposal when overall it's kind of a weaker class and, you know, their positions in need. You know, there's definitely, I think, going to be a lot of question marks about the depth. I think you look at you just look overall at this draft class. I think there's going to be guys that just are going to need more acclimation time than other guys that have been picked in similar spots, whether it's, you know, to teams that are contenders or teams that kind of need a quick infusion right away as part of a rebuild. So it is going to be an interesting class to kind of look back on, because I think this is one year where I think opinions and I think rankings that we've kind of seen with certain players and certain position groups, I think you have a lot more discrepancy this year. Overall, it's just, I think, one of those years where, especially at wide receiver or defensive end, corner, I think you could have, you know, any order that you want, 1 to 5, go to a different person. And if they have a different order, 1 through 5, completely, it would not shock me. And I think it really makes a lot more sense this year to kind of see those bigger discrepancies in the opinions. And I'm interested really to see how the league is going to kind of react to that. We know the value of picks. You know, even though there's 32 first round picks, you know, not every player or every pick in that first round is really worth the first round investment necessarily. I think Brett Veach in his press conference that he had today said they have maybe around 18 players at max that have a first round grade on their board. And to Brett Veach's credit, I think he's done very well, especially the last couple of years, on really drafting with value in mind rather than need. And of course, I mean, to a degree, every team's going to be drafting for need in some way. You know, it's not going to be completely ignored, you know, when you have certain holes on your roster, especially a team like Kansas City, given their contender status. But I think you look at just the way Brett Veach has really kind of talked openly, press conference today or just past couple of years about the value kind of their board, whether it's vertical value at a position group or horizontal at, say, a sweet spot in the draft, you know, what could be there for them in the first round at 29 and 30 overall. I just think that's always been an interesting thing that he's talked in depth with about. And I think in going back to just being a weaker class overall, in my opinion, that's always, I think, going to help a team like Kansas City, who doesn't necessarily reach as much for needs as, say, some other teams will. So that's going to be an interesting thing to see. And we talked about the sweet spots a little bit. I think one thing that was an interesting note from the Veach press conference today was he thinks the value of picks 30 to 60 is going to be really good. And I saw another thing this morning. Daniel Jeremiah moved the sticks of NFL Network, kind of talking about how, you know, the Chiefs, there's been a lot of talk about maybe needing to trade up to secure one of the top guys, but he actually kind of said the opposite. Daniel Jeremiah talking about 29 and 30 really being where a lot of good guys could slip to. And I think you just look at where a lot of other teams are kind of at compared to the Chiefs, maybe on the opposite end of things. I mean, there's going to be so many quarterbacks every year that are considered in certain parts of the first round. I mean, even though it's not going to be considered one of the best quarterback classes in a long time, there's still a lot of teams that are searching for that future leader at quarterback. There's still guys that are looking for an option right away. So I think overall that's always going to be the case. And when you have fifth-year options involved for quarterbacks, it makes that pick and that gamble a little bit more attainable for certain teams. And I think you just look at the way this year's class is built on paper, it does kind of start to make sense that those sweet spots could begin there end of the first round and into the second. And honestly, I think at this point, something that I've kind of had my mind changed on maybe a little bit from a Kansas City perspective is, you know, if they are to make a trade, I think with the first round pick at this point, right now, I think it's actually more likely they would maybe trade back out of round one and maybe only make one pick at the end of the first round. I think the day two picks and kind of like what Veach said with, you know, picks 30 through 60 and the value being there a lot more than maybe what some would expect. I think day two picks in this draft may actually be more value and be more valuable and be more, I think, attainable for certain teams than I think with how much reaches or, you know, how many kind of little value picks that there could really honestly be in this year's first round. I think it's a weird year like that. And you know, going back to the fifth-year option thing for possible quarterback teams, you know, if the Chiefs were to trade back out of round one, you know, get into that sweet spot, you look at somebody maybe try to get ahead of Detroit at 32 overall, you know, say jump back into the first round at 30 overall, somebody like a Seattle or an Indianapolis to a degree, or, you know, even somebody like an Atlanta or somebody like that. I think it could make a lot of sense to see a team trade up to get ahead of Detroit. You know, if Detroit does not go quarterback at two, which I think is much more the case now that they won't go a quarterback in that spot compared to maybe what I thought about a month or so ago. So, yeah, I think just seeing those sweet spots, whether it's end of first round or mid to late, you know, second round where Chiefs right now have picks 50 and 62. I just would not be surprised to see them load up on those day two picks, seeing kind of where the value is at and hearing, you know, what Brett Veach kind of said about the value in that part of the draft. So a couple other things, of course, we talked about value. And like I said, Veach has, I think, done really well on not just drafting for need, and having a lot of options at their disposal. He talked about what ifs in the press conference today too. You know, what if this player slips, or if this scenario comes up where two players we like are right there, you know, that we didn't expect, which direction are we going to go? I think that's something that has been a little more evident for Kansas City in his last couple of drafts. And, you know, looking back on that, I think it's just, it is going to be interesting to see, I think, how aggressive some teams are going to be compared to others. I think there's been a lot more patience than I think most people would expect when it comes to the recent Chiefs drafts, at least the last couple of years, 2020, 2021. So even if I think they move up and down the draft board, again, I think that value part of it for Kansas City especially knowing that this is a year I think they're ready to build through the draft more than they have in a long time, and looking just ahead to the next couple of years. Overall, I just think that's going to be something that Kansas City, you know, in those sweet spots, in those day two picks, definitely going to be, I think, worth watching more than maybe what they do in round one. I guess looking at some of the positions in need, that's something that, going back to the value thing a little bit from what Veach said, some other notes from his press conference today, obviously asked about wide receiver, edge. It was interesting to hear him talk about cornerbacks again, and I think we did a podcast episode. One point we made earlier this offseason was actually reacting to what Veach had to say at his end of season press conference, and I've been kind of somebody that definitely been questioning, you know, why Brett Veach does not necessarily value corners as highly as, say, a lot of other teams. And we kind of talked about on that episode a little bit for that point that it seems like cornerback position is maybe not even just with the Chiefs, but the league in general. I think a lot more has to be taken into account when you figure it out. I think the, you know, short-term window or expectations or long-term expectations for players, I think there's a lot more factors, obviously, that are taken into account with corners just because it is such a hard position to play in today's pass-happy NFL. Instincts and athleticism, you know, I mean, you can find that, I think, for every position, but I think that matters obviously so much more now than it used to at cornerback because of just how much defenses are playing in sub, how much they're playing in dime, how much more speed they're having to get on the field at all times. And obviously we see that with Kansas City from time to time is, you know, they're getting that dime package out there quite a bit. So cornerback to me, it was interesting today specifically to hear kind of each talk about, you know, I think all the factors that have to be kind of checked or the boxes that have to be checked for them to kind of go cornerback early. And really, this is a year, I think, when you look at the value of the class, like we talked about a lot, I really think this is a year where I could kind of see them go earlier than they ever have with a Veach draft pick at corner. And really, I think that goes back to earlier, I think, weaker class. I mean, cornerback's a position where I think the depth and the fall off, you know, outside of the first two rounds is really, you know, really dire and really bleak. So it is kind of one of those things where I think you look at cornerback and the factors that are involved. I think this is a class that even as weak as it is in terms of depth, I think the top of it definitely checks a lot more boxes than, say, past cornerback classes have for what I think the Chiefs and Brett Veach have looked at in certain tendencies. When you look at, you know, wanting to get younger but also faster, there's a lot of great athletes in this cornerback class where usually you're kind of seeing a lot of cornerback classes that are more strong with, you know, hand technique or coverage skills and instincts, not necessarily guys that are going to be able to, you know, match up athletically or physically with guys that are, you know, 5-6 year vets or receiver in the NFL. I think you have a little bit more of those guys this year where the issues or the improvement is very fixable with coaching. And I think just looking at some of the cornerbacks in this class, it's very, very similar to, I think, what Kansas City has gone after the last few years, trying to take chances on these lottery tickets, guys like Legarius Sneed, which has worked out well, Rashad Fenton, and even Charverius Ward. So I think you look at this class at the top, you know, not everybody's going to drop necessarily, but I do think there is going to be a lot of teams that wait. So when you look at what Veach had to say, I think just in terms of character and medical and instincts and, you know, just those length and athleticism requirements, like it seems like they're kind of drawing through right now. Definitely, I think Kansas City is going to have a lot of options there in those first few picks that maybe a lot of people don't expect. I think there's going to be a lot of corners that slip just because of what the league is willing to wait on a little bit. And I think it is just a little bit of a different class than normal where, you know, like I said, those technique and those instincts things may not always be the forefront or the best traits of those players like we've seen in years past at the cornerback position. And going back to the value thing real quick, I did want to mention this. Another note from Brett Veach in today's pre-draft press conference was he was asked how many players they had actually ranked on their board or guys that they were interested in on their board. And he mentioned 194 players in total And I think obviously with having a lot more picks with 12 total, that makes a lot of sense. And he even talked about, I think, what you typically see from the league, you know, second, third round picks. I mean, I think a lot of teams are going to have similar boards in most spots as far as value picks if you're not overdrafting for need. And I think you kind of look at that with those day two picks. It makes a lot of sense to see, you know, even though some of the guys that personally I would rank as, you know, much earlier than they're taken, why they kind of fall a little bit, because every team is kind of in the same boat on those day two picks in rounds two and three. Kind of like Brett Veach mentioned, I think there's just always that determination or belief that there is always going to be that value somewhere there on day two. And I think you just see the amount of trades and pick swapping that we've seen a lot more frequently on day two, you know, compared to day one, where teams are able to kind of get a fresher reset and get a little bit more of an idea of, you know, where the board is going to maybe be deeper at in certain spots. We've seen that, I think, a lot more in recent years. So to hear that number, it's really interesting, 194 players. And just kind of looking at reports of pre-draft visits or meetings that the Chiefs have had with certain prospects, it almost seems like they do have maybe a lot more routes that they're willing to take this year than other years. And of course, you know, not being obviously privy to any of the meetings or discussions in the room that the Chiefs staff is having. But I think just, like I said, knowing that, I think they're going to be willing to take these safer gambles and not necessarily always reach in this kind of class where it is maybe a little bit weaker. I think that's why you look so far and so wide, I think, to this class and where the value is going to be, because I think overall that, you know, there's a lot of guys that are not necessarily going to be game changers, but overall it's definitely going to be kind of one of those classes where you're able to add, I think, dependable depth that is going to be probably pretty reliable for a long time on average. So that's one thing that I think just sticks out to me, especially when you hear that number, 194 players they have on their board right now. I think they're definitely more comfortable, you know, with so many different positions and so many different players, the depth there that they're kind of expecting. So it is going to be interesting. Like I said, at the beginning, I mean, this has been a really interesting pre-draft process. Like I said, maybe a little bit weaker class, but being able to do some of the draft profiles this year for FPC Chiefs, been really interesting, I think, this year compared to other years, on just seeing the wide-ranging opinions on certain guys, you know, trying to see what the league is going to do. I mean, it is really crazy, because most years, at least the last few, you really usually have a pretty good idea on what the top 10 or the first half of the first round is really going to look like. Usually it's those last, you know, anywhere from 8 to 12 picks in the first round that are really maybe the only shocking ones of night one. But I mean, we don't even really have a great idea on who the number one overall pick's going to be. I think it's down between two guys, it seems like, for the Jacksonville Jaguars, with Aiden Hutchinson, defensive end out of Michigan, and the Georgia pass rusher Trayvon Walker. But I mean, I think it's really interesting just to look at the draft class this year. I mean, usually top five, we have a pretty good idea, but I mean, I'm going to be, I think, pretty stunned and amazed just even a few picks in once this thing really gets rolling. It's going to be fun. It's going to be crazy. And like I said, it's just different, not just because of, in my opinion, a little weaker class at the top, or just the unexpectancy of what other teams are going to do. But obviously with Kansas City, I mean, like we said, this is the first time potentially that Brett Veach and his staff will be making more than six draft picks in a single draft. So seeing what haul they're going to get, seeing what they're going to be able to create, or what they try to maybe go after, or if they move up or down the board that often, I think that's going to be really enticing to see, you know, when certain positions are taken for them. Again, drafting usually for value over need, but I think that it is going to be really interesting, I think, to see if the Chiefs are able to kind of change their landscape quicker than what most teams in the past in this situation could have done. I mean, you talk about trading away Tyreek Hill, arguably, you know, a top three receiver in the NFL. But when you have the quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, and Brett Veach said it before, I mean, you have that opportunity to go compete every year. And I think it was Dan Orlovsky of ESPN kind of talking a few weeks ago that you know, this is arguably the most fascinating team to watch in this NFL draft with the Chiefs, because I think, you know, you look at already having the quarterback secured, and yeah, it may look pretty bare for what's around him in terms of stars right now offensively. But I think this is definitely going to be fascinating to see, like you said, if they can hit on five at least of these picks, you know, as far as just long-term, you know, long-term starters, long-term production guys on this team out of those 12 picks, especially the early ones, having, you know, two picks in each of the first four rounds, I think that's going to be a game changer. Like Dan Orlovsky said, being willing to kind of get rid of those guys that, you know, even though they are star players, they're one of ones at their position, like a Tyreek Hill. I think just knowing that you can easily kind of find guys to try to help mend that replacement, or, you know, fix that hole quicker than maybe what you're used to. I just, you look specifically a wide receiver, the way in which receivers are dominating earlier in their careers compared to what it used to be, definitely going to be a trend that Kansas City could start here, you know, even as they remain some of the best contenders for the Super Bowl and for the AFC Championship game. And, you know, I think it's just it's going to be very exciting, because, like I said, a lot of unexpectancy, I think, going in, seeing how those sweet spots really turn out in terms of value on the board for the Chiefs. But like we said, I mean, just being able to see them really truly get to build through the draft with a lot of picks for the first time in a while, it's going to be fun. It's going to be refreshing. So I cannot wait to have the draft finally get here in 6 days. Again, we'll be back with one more podcast episode on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, so be on the lookout for that. Again, had a little bit of time in between our last podcast episode and this one, so after a long break, glad to be back here. But it's been fun doing all the draft prospect profile articles, like we said. Been getting some great reactions and feedback from those, so we cannot thank everybody enough for all those kind of words. Been very appreciative for those. And of course, be sure to follow us on Twitter at @FPC_Chiefs. Follow myself at @BradenOlacek9 with the number 9 at the end. Be sure to follow at @FullPressNFL or at @FP_coverage on Twitter. Going to be busy next week. A lot of graphics, a lot of draft pieces coming out. So be sure to follow along. A lot of exciting stuff from a visual perspective and just content perspective in general. So be on the lookout. Follow us along. I believe even some live draft content on video. You guys can follow Full Press Coverage on YouTube Thursday night, Friday night especially. We will have a lot of people, a lot of the staff from the Full Press NFL, a group that will be there. So we cannot wait for the draft to be here. Going to be an exciting week. A lot of unexpectancy, but really excited to see what the Chiefs are going to do. And to not wait to round out our draft content here in the pre-draft process before Thursday. So be on the lookout for that. Like I said, another podcast episode next week, more articles early next week, and then we will be diving in headfirst to a busy draft weekend next weekend. Thanks, as always, for joining us. Enjoy your weekend. Make it a good one, and we will see you guys next time.